This is Never Winter Nights podcast for week March 23rd, 2007. This is episode 19.
Hello, I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
And hi, I'm Michelle, a.k.a. Liso.
And this is the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series. Michelle is sitting in again for Trey as he's on vacation, so we get our guest host 2 weeks in a row. Isn't that great?
Yay!
I know Trey really appreciates it because that's the first time he's had a vacation in a while, so it's good for him to go off with the family. Speaking of vacation, I'm still on vacation, so I'm having lots of fun, too.
What have you done so far?
Well, since this is Tuesday when we record, yesterday was Monday, so the first day of vacation. Actually, the weekend, I went to see my parents, and it was the first time we've actually gone to my parents' house in almost a year.
Wow.
Which is really sad to say.
How far away did they
go? 2.5 hours. That's what even makes it worse.
Yeah, my parents are at least in another state.
Yeah. I know it's bad. But my parents are having to take care of their parents, and they live in Texas, so they travel there a lot. And we've got a 7-year-old and a almost 3-year-old, so they have lots of activities. And then my wife and I are also very involved with numerous things, so we stay busy too. So it's just been impossible to keep our schedule straightened out. So then Monday, I got up and did some chores around the house. I'm a hobbyist at woodworking, so I have some of those man projects around the house that haven't quite been finished, but are almost finished.
I'm hearing a Tim Taylor moment.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't hurt myself or anything. I actually got a couple of them done before noon and then went and picked up a bunch of mulch and took it to my wife for their kids' day out to redo the she runs a kids program for a local church, and they're getting ready to remulch the playground every spring. So
I wasn't thinking of the physical harm end of it. I was actually thinking of that silly noise that he makes when he's all excited about tools.
No new tools, so nothing to be excited about. So what have you been doing?
I have been... nothing, I swear. I'm just dealing with kids and home and all that. And I reinstalled Vampire Masquerade's Bloodlines. I felt like playing it again. I haven't played it for about a year, so I want to play it again.
All right, some of the things we're going to discuss this week are our chat we had on Thieves Guild, which we did talk about last week. It just didn't make it into the show due to a length. So I apologize for that. We're kind of covering it a couple of weeks late.
And we are also going to talk about what is your true D&D class. We found some surveys on the internet, and there is also one, what is your true alignment? I read yours.
You read mine? Oh, scary. The module of the year update redo. We'll be talking about that.
And overlooked module report from the Neverwinter Nights Vault.
Patch 105. Beta, underscore that. That's the English beta of patch 105 for Neverwinter Nights 2 has been released.
Right. For the brave souls out there. We will discuss two modules, one in Neverwinter Nights 1 and one in Neverwinter Nights 2. The first one in Neverwinter Nights 2 is Endor, and Neverwinter Nights 1, Eternal Destiny Reborn. Ooh, that sounds like a neat name.
Yeah, there's some really good ones. They shorten that to EDR, so if you ever see that, the same thing. And then Michelle brought us another interview with Kevin Dane, the project lead and creator of the Other Side Chronicles.
Yeah, we are looking at only a couple more months until that's out. It sounds very interesting.
But before we get to that, the Patch 105 English Beta was released.
Yes, it was.
And I got that on the Thieves Guild, where I saw that posted as a news, which sent me to there. And then I went looking for the release note so I could see what was going to be in it. So that sent me to the Vault, and then a couple of pages in the Vault so I could find it.
And for you brave souls who are ready to download and beta test that and go for it and let us know how that works.
I still can't. There's one thing I was going to try to mention and see if somebody knew if it was going to be in there, because I didn't see it in the current release notes. And I know they're not finished with this patch yet.
I think we're supposed to talk about the Thieves Guild chat.
Yes.
You guys came in at midnight. And once again, I predicted European chatters. And God bless them, they got
that
up
was a lot of fun.
At 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning to chat with these guys.
That was a lot of fun. Ray and I talked about that afterwards, and we had a blast. And we actually recorded our discussions while we were answering the questions. So we have a lot of scrambling for answers, or who's that? You can answer that one? I'll answer that one.
I posted the questions to both of you so that you guys can decide who was going to answer what.
Yeah, we were on Skype talking, so every time we saw a question, we'd be like, who, you going to get that one? Okay, I got that one. Okay, I'll get this one. So it was a lot of fun. It was midnight where I was. Trey and I actually, it was. I don't know if Trey did, but I actually came home and ate and promptly went to bed the same time my kids did, and then I set my alarm and woke up and came down and jumped on. And
The chat ended for me at 2. And then I tied up some loose ends on chatting with other chatters that I was dealing with and stuff. And I got to bed around 3 and was back up at 7. D&D classes.
Yeah, what'd you come up with on those?
Well, I have it up right.
Or should we say a little bit about what we did first?
Well, we took a test.
Yeah, we found several online surveys.
Right, absolutely. I only did 2 of them. I did one for the alignment and one for the class.
Yep.
You, on the other hand, were a little more ambitious.
Well, I did 3, and one of them was, what's your D&D class, and the other one were, what your alignment is. So.
Right.
You answered several questions, and based on how you answered the questions and how you would ask, act
in real
life.
Some of those questions were crazy.
They were.
They were so hard to answer. And I found out that I'm just not the nicest person in the world sometimes.
Some of them were hilarious, like if you love something and set it free, you hunt it down to kill it.
Oh, yeah,
I finally
know.
Do agree with that. That was pretty funny. On the, what did you get on the What's Your D&D class?
I got the top one, a bard, of all things.
No, that was my second one.
And Sorcerer, 60% was my second one.
I came out with Cleric as a 90%, and then Bard was an 80%.
I don't have a 90% anything. Everything is like 80% or lower. I guess I'm just, Jack of all trades.
Then I also had a Fighter as an 80%.
Yeah, my Fighter is 60%. Barbarian, 50%. Cleric, 50%. Monk, 50%. Rogue, 40%. Druid, 30%. I guess I don't care about the environment so much. Paladin, 30%. Yeah, so not so much on that whole lawful thing.
See, my Paladin 20%. Was 4th. That was my 70% was Paladin.
Yeah, my Paladin's like way down there. And Wizard, 20%.
Yeah, so mine was Cleric, 90%. Bard, 80%. Fighter, 80%. Paladin, 70%. Monk, 70%. And then Rogue and Wizard come in, and Barbarian and Druid come in at 60%, and then Ranger.
You care about the land worse than I do.
And the Ranger and Sorcerer came in as 50%.
Uh-huh.
And funny thing is, I've not played a Cleric or a Bard yet.
I have never played a Bard in Neverwinter Nights 2. However, I did play a MMORPG Ultima Online, and my Bard was my favorite character, actually. So, interestingly enough.
Wow.
But I haven't played one in ages. I really didn't think it would come up. And I have, no musical ability whatsoever in real life other than turning my stereo on and playing Winamp.
Well, I thought about in Dissaria, if we go on to that, then I was going to create a cleric character and start playing it.
Oh, Johnny Ree's a cleric also.
Oh, cool. I can get some tips from him. And then one of them was called from Select Smart, which it had a survey on there, and it was about alignment.
Right. I did that one also.
I'm guessing you're a chaotic good.
You think? It is so obvious. I swear. Even people even know. I'm basically a really good person. I just have a little bit of questionable ethics, maybe. Or tactics.
Well, that would be chaotic good.
Yes, it would. And that would be me.
What was your number 2?
Neutral.
Neutral.
Oddly enough, yeah.
Yeah, see, neutral. I'm just flip-flopped on that one. I got a neutral good as my number 1 and chaotic good as my number 2.
My number 3 is chaotic neutral. I have a whole lot of evils on here.
No, mine was a lawful neutral. Number three.
Let's see. Why don't you read down your list, and then I'll read down
Okay. mine. Number one was neutral good. Number two was chaotic good. Number three was lawful neutral. Number four was lawful good. Number five was neutral. Number six was chaotic neutral. Number seven was lawful evil. And number eight was neutral evil. And number nine was chaotic evil.
Okay, mine. Number one, chaotic good. Yay me. Number two, neutral. Number three, chaotic neutral. Number four, neutral good. Number five, neutral evil. Number six, chaotic evil. Yeah, I'm completely insane. Seven, lawful neutral. Eight, lawful evil. And nine, lawful good. Oh, well, you know, you see where my priorities are.
Yeah. So I'm bending the rules a little bit, but not very often.
I'm not even commenting.
Yeah. Rules? There's no other rules but my
rules. FBI is going to be at my house.
Well, that would be chaotic good, right? There's only rules are their own.
That's right.
They have a sense of honor, but it's theirs. Which is on the Quizilla.com one, what I got. It says, you're a rebel, chaotic good.
Hey.
So what did you get on that one?
I only did the two.
I like that one because it came out kind of like your little horoscope at the end. It says chaotic good characters work towards good in their own ways without regard to their expectations. So it gives you a little explanation of what that means at the end of it, which some of those others did not.
Mm-hmm.
And it also came up and told you how many other people had gotten the same result, how many times the quiz had been taken.
Right.
So it looks like I'm in the 34 percentile of the people that's taken it. 34% of them come up with chaotic good.
That's a pretty high percent.
I actually thought it was pretty cool because, like, you know, I was like, well, I'm going to go, you know, it's going to be more fun and easier and relaxing to play characters that fit the way that you are in real life.
Right.
So that's why I'm going, wow, cleric and bard came up there. I've never played either one of those. So now I'm going to go try those.
I actually, in former games, I often played a healer as I was like the group, the wandering healer. That's actually was one of my guild names. And I played a shaman, which is a healer. I played a cleric, which is a healer. A priest, which is a healer. And but never went in Knights 2, never went there.
So I need a neutral good cleric and a chaotic good bard.
Hey, I'm going to try a chaotic good bard sometime. Sure. See if it really pans out that's like my ideal mix there. But I don't know how a bard works in Neverwinter Nights 2. I'm going to have to actually figure it out.
I think Kevin, one of our guildmates, has played a bard, and he actually did really pretty good at it. But a lot of the spells are songs. That's one of the things I noticed about on...
Right.
Yeah, so he would play some song, we'd all get buffed up. I was like,
right.
Cool, thanks, dude.
And that was the only good thing about having Grobner around. Because every time a battle would start, we'd all have stone skin because he'd start playing his tunes.
Yeah, the first time I did that, I'm going, what are you doing? He goes, I'm playing a bard. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. Speaking of getting it, I'm going to segue into this. I didn't get it last week when we were talking about the UT 2004 total mod that won the Making Something Unreal contest.
Right.
I knew it wasn't Red October, but I couldn't remember what it was.
I mentioned I thought that was a movie.
It is, and I knew that wasn't right. I just couldn't remember what the right one was. But thankfully, Solace sent in a comment, and I was going to let everybody know it's Red Orchestra is the name of it. And it was
close.
I knew it was there, but I knew it was wrong, but I couldn't pull the thing off the top of my head. So I was like, I'm just going to leave it at that and go on, but... The point of it was all the cool things that they could do with it. And I've seen some other posts about the contest that's soon to be coming. And they're all saying, well, is this going to be just a mod contest or is it not? Well, hopefully they'll look at
the Obsidian one?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, hopefully they'll look at the Make Something Unreal contest and how they did it, because they did it for modules, prefabbed areas. They had several categories, you know, picture art, pictorial arts.
Right.
And all of those categories were their... covered every area, just like if we went and said, we're going to have a competition where one of them, they're going to have stuff in portraits. There's going to be people doing mods or a prefabbed area or some certain kind of scripts. Or you could have categories for that, and each area, each category have winners. And then you have one big winner that does like a, you know, a total rework of it or something.
Right. I agree. There's a lot of people who specialize in individual things out there rather than just making modules.
Right. Like Ree doing the assassin.
Right. Oh, he's gotten a lot further.
He's getting really close on that, yeah.
Yeah, he showed me the picture. I was like, wow, he's so talented.
We got another comment from Halloween Foxy that commented on the show being out later than normal, and I wanted to address that. And it was out a little bit later than normal, but actually it was right on time for what our schedule was. Hopefully we record on a Tuesday and then edit Wednesday and Thursday in hopes of having it done Thursday night so it can go out Friday.
Right.
If we get done early, of course, we get to release the show early. So technically, Halloween Foxy, we were right on schedule.
Yeah, she just got fortunate that Trey stays up late and throws it out there.
Yeah, because, you know, I either finish it, recording it, shut it off and go play, or go to bed, and then I'll take care of it the next day. So, but anyway, just in case someone was wondering, I thought I'd go ahead and tell them, you know, we record on Tuesdays, we edit on Wednesdays and Thursdays, and try to get everything out on Friday. That's the goal. That way the content's not too stale by the time it comes out. And what we're going to need to get more consistent on is making sure it always comes out on Friday, even if we're done early. So we'll work on that. We haven't got any new Mod Spotlights lately, which, if you guys haven't heard, the Mod Spotlight is that section where we highlight a module that was created by the community. Usually we've getting the mod teams to do that and send it in. And I think you hopefully have got one from the Zarya team. Hopefully talked them into doing one.
Well, they said they would do one. So, yeah. I also asked them to do a short, I asked Tony to do a short interview with me when they do their big reveal.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool. That would be, we need, definitely need to get into that, doing that kind of
right.
stuff.
Right, he said that was awesome, that he had, you know. I actually wanted to read one comment from their boards regarding the Neverwinter Nights podcast, because it was just a really cool comment, and
okay.
If you don't mind, I'd like to read that. This is from Wyvern, and his title here is Lord of the Realms, so I think he's like either one major poster or part of the team there. And he says, the podcast has certainly been a very well-received, and I am sure the audience will grow as a result. I, for one, will certainly be keeping an ear open for the future. So, keep up the good work. I think you are providing an excellent service to the Neverwinter Night community as a whole.
That's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was very cool. Actually, they have 3 full pages of comments from their interview. They have a really good community within themselves. Everybody's
cool.
Really, they were all really excited. They all had some really great posts on here. And I enjoyed reading them. And I also tried to encourage them to make comments on podcast for the show specific, so that we also know how, you know, it was received. Because not everybody knows to come over to their website to read all the comments.
Right.
So,
the only thing I think was wrong with the interview is there are a few places that the audio quality could have been a little better.
Right.
And I think that was an issue with Skype, but we're also going to look into some things. I've started looking into, there is a couple other services where when we're going to do large interviews, we can use them. Plus, we're also looking at that for doing our main topic discussions for around time. Isendor.
Oh, I went to I watched their trailer today. It was really good. It truly was very creative. It was very good. It was had a lot of energy. I actually want to check it out.
Yeah, this is the one that's real heavy on crafting, from what I understand.
Oh, really? I saw guns and it was real modern.
Yeah, it says it's a modern, persistent world.
But their trailer was really cool. I enjoyed watching it.
It says, World of Isendor, Xenograph Arms, a modern, futuristic realm that you shape and mold. We use a lot, and that's capital L-O-T. We use a lot of our own custom scripting and systems, from the rent and housing system to food and rations.
Like I said, the trailer was interesting. Interesting enough that I'd like to actually go look at it.
And their formed link. And it uses the D20 1.0 hack set. So I don't know if they're part of the D20 team or it's just they're utilizing.
Yeah, I think the closest thing I've come to playing a futuristic world is...
Oh, yeah, it shows spaceships and And there's screenshot that goes with it. So, yeah, it'd be kind of cool to check that out.
Which was quite
how
popular.
Well, a futuristic world can be done with an everorganized tool set.
Right. I like the name.
We haven't been touching on a lot of Neverwinter Nights stuff, so I wanted to go ahead and throw in a Neverwinter Nights 1 module. That's why I threw the Eternal Destiny Reborn module in here, so we could talk about that. And it's got a good name, and what I was reading on it, says the Eternal Destiny Reborn is an action server, and as such, that is what you will find here. Roleplay is, of course, allowed, and at least 5% of our players roleplay their characters. This especially applies to guild members of the guilds on EDR. The server was originally created by DM Steiner and DM Gate Xkeeper, and it was passed down to DM Tombstone on June 2006. Since then, DM Tombstone has gotten several new DMs and two builders to exclusively help reshape EDR. The team has done an enormous amount of work in the past several months, and the latest update being an entire rework of the magic level, i.e. items and stats, and over 50% of the items on the server, two new towns, and several new areas. With this comes a server wipe, which was done on February 25th, 2007, and players were allowed to keep up to two characters. The rest were all wiped clean. Let's see. It's got a persistent banking system. Each character can store gold and items in the bank persistently. And quests, the server features several quests at the time of the listing. We have about 12 quests in the game world, and our goal is to have several quests per town, as well as secret class-specific quests. They have a token system, and it's in place where certain bosses drop destiny coins and epic destiny coins, which the player can either use together with elven queen tokens and dwarven king tokens, which are earned through certain quests in order to buy special equipment. As well as a persistent journaling system, and they have several guilds. So it looks pretty cool. Yeah, this announcement or this release of it was last month. So those are our two modules for this week. I know over the last couple of weeks we've been talking about the Mod of the Year competition over on the Vault.
Yeah, I saw that. I read that today.
They're having to relaunch that. Now, they found out that, and they think it was nothing to do with any of the people that are authors or mod authors or members, but someone had found a way to exploit the voting system. So they were racking up votes for just people at random. And so they've kind of scrubbed all the votes that were there before, and they're restarting it. I was going to just read this
exact post here that Maximus posted on the vault.
Says, I'd rather walk on burning coal mixed with glass, but I'm afraid I'm going to have
to restart the
Module of the Year contest due to some very suspicious voting that has been brought to my attention. We've gone through several years without having any problems, but this year some persons have spoiled the voting. And the reward
and
is too important to just ignore.
Overlooked modules.
I should make note
Battle
that I'm virtually 100% certain that the module authors had nothing to do with the cheating,
Horus,
that's in bold, and was most likely
Demon
done
Soul
by someone
one,
not
Cradle
related
Darkness
to the authors. Starting
Legacy
tomorrow, this was posted on March 18th. Starting tomorrow night, we'll restart the voting using a submission form tied to the user account. Also, only user accounts created before and including March 1st will be allowed to vote.
And that is the list of the overlooked
votes to
modules.
Avoid further cheating. So this should be as close as they can get to a secure voting environment as possible.
Only has
this is really hates
votes.
Having to ask people to re-vote, but it wouldn't be fair for those participating.
Overlooked, yeah.
So if you voted on a module in the past, then you haven't done it since you had to log in to do it.
Obviously,
you might want to go back because they're starting that competition all over again.
Yeah, absolutely. I still have it.
Yeah, it's too bad someone had to exploit some kind of security issue they had there. We're going to post. Yeah. We'll post the link to the this article about this, so you can follow up on it if you want to. There was 21 comments to that, which I didn't go into, so you can check out that and find out more. And we'll also post the link in our show notes that'll get you to the secure voting form, so you can go back and revote. Losafar?
Sure.
And those are all Neverwinter Nights 1, right? Yeah, the Advanced Battle of Dragons sounded really cool, and it's got currently been downloaded 6,542 times and has 22 votes. Yeah. I think it's where that's why they fall into the... Yeah. See, the Champions of Horus has had 3,000, over 3,000 downloads and only has 11 votes. So if you have played these, go vote for them. If you haven't, you might want to check them out if you've still got Neverwinter Nights 1, because...
We have Kevin Dane, project lead and creator of The Other Side Chronicles. Hi, Kevin. How are you this evening?
Hey, I'm fine.
Okay. Would you like to give the listeners an introduction, tell them a little bit about yourself, where you're from, your hobbies, work, or school?
So, I'm Kevin Dane. I'm the founder of the upcoming Other Side Chronicles and just a plain crazy person in general. I'm from the humble kingdom of Belgium, 16 years old, and sadly still a student, yay. My hobbies are mostly gaming and modding, and I'm a fan of FPS shooters and RPGs. Not so much strategy or other games that require lots of tactical thinking or something. Well, that's about it.
Could you tell us a little bit about your role within the community, the Neverwinter Nights community?
Right, well, as I said, I'm currently building a campaign or series, whatever you like to call it, so people can get more out of their game like that. And also, since I'm getting some experience with problems in the toolkit and stuff, I'm always ready to help people on the Thieves Guild forums or chat with any questions.
Okay. Could you give us a description and background of the Other Side Chronicles?
Well, the Chronicles take place in a continent of Arith. It's a self-created world, and it has a period in its history that was called the Chaos. And in that period, there was a worldwide war between the humans, goblinoids, and the so-called demons. The humans got caught between the two large forces and pushed back to their capital, Rhynal. There, they, during their last battle, they chose for the only way out, killing themselves. And they did this by using an old artifact called the Forbidden Book, which caused a huge explosion that destroyed everything and caused a negative energy portal to be created. The series, or campaign, they start 812 years after this chaos, where things suddenly start to go all wrong and all seems to be connected to the portal and relies on the other side of it. I could tell more, but the strength of the story will mostly lie in not knowing what exactly is happening and just, you know, trying to survive.
It sounds great. How did this main story of yours evolve into a module? Where did it come from?
Well, I actually started getting interest in modding from an ad about a Dutch modding group, Zero Games. They were working on various projects, and one of those was a completely new 2D game. I liked the sound of that, and I tried writing down my own story. So after a while, I started writing, but I stopped as I lost interest once the modding group kind of got inactive. But after a time, Oblivion got announced, and I remembered its predecessor, Morrowind, to have a great modding engine, and I wondered if I could start a project on that. So, yeah, I started working on that, and I found some old concepts for my 2D game, and I started building further on that to eventually have a complete world built from scratch, the world which I have now. Sadly, Oblivion eventually turned out to have a very bad modding toolkit, bugs and no support and all that stuff. But then I heard Neverwinter Nights 2 was under development, and I was always amazed by Neverwinter Nights 1's community and their modules, so I decided to join in with them, and here I am.
Yeah, it is a really amazing community. How many hours do you think this game will have as far as game time play? Do you have an estimate?
It's an introduction act, so it only gets the whole story going. It'd be longer than the demos posted on the vault, but I think it'd be about comparable to normal modules. I find it hard to just put some hours on it, as, you know, some people just tend to rush through things when others like to check out
right.
every little detail.
Yeah, I'm one of those. I click on everything. It's just the only way I usually figure out how to get my way through the area. Do you have any general idea when this module will be released? And will this... you already explained that it will be a series, so...
It will depend on how many problems still turn up, but I'm progressing quite well. So I'm quite sure I'll be able to share it with you all within a few months. The campaign itself... will be released in different chapters or acts, like I said, so I can adjust anything during the course of the campaign if something doesn't please the community or something.
Are you soloing this project, or do you have a team?
I'm currently the only person who actually works on the module, but I actually prefer this, as I can now work at my own pace, and yeah, you know, since I'm a lazy bitch. I do... have some people who might or give some advice now and then, or spit out their ideas. They might not seem important to you, but you have no idea how helpful someone else's opinion can be when you're not sure about something.
Oh, I think I can get a general idea. Yeah, truly, I always ask for opinions about everything. So, in other words, you're pretty comfortable not having a team to have to keep a pace with. And
yeah. For the moment.
Okay, well, if you do end up looking for any team members, how could they contact you if they're interested? And what kind of team members would you be looking for?
Well, it's possible I'll meet some team members in the future. I wouldn't mind working with a very small team, as in two or three people maximum. I have the whole series already written out in detail, so I can't use any writers or something.
Right.
I don't think I'll have enough people for who only work as scripters too. I also prefer doing the area building on my own, so I don't need anybody for that. Though people who are interested in writing or implementing quests or the guild quests who are coming in the next chapters, they are very welcome to contact me. They can contact me on my email address, which is kevindane, D-E-Y-N-E, at hotmail.com. Still, it's all just my opinion for the moment. If you're interested in helping any way, even as scripter or area builder or whatever, please do contact me. I don't care. I'll see if I can work it out.
All right, a question I know that a lot of people have interest in. Will there be options for good and evil alignments?
Right, I believe in stories you are part of, not stories that are part of you. In other words, the story won't drastically change if you're a cold-blooded murderer or a good-hearted paladin. It just wouldn't, you know, work out. You won't get multiple endings or something, but what it will be is that... it's basically a story about survival and war, and the consequences you'll have to face, and yeah, you'll have to face people who don't care if you're a lawless thief or a healer or I don't know what, but your alignment will have impact on the people around you, and the people who you talk to, and how you can, you know, get information out of people and stuff different ways. Still, you won't notice that much in the first act, as it only gets the whole thing going, but you can expect more about that in the actual story.
Okay, great. That sounds interesting, actually. Have you included any hack packs that provide any additional items?
For the introduction, I currently don't have any hackbacks or additional downloads, except for the actual model itself. That doesn't mean I get custom items or something, but I just mean that there are no brand new models or special things I use to create them. I find for the introduction act, the resources that the OC provides me are enough for now.
Okay. And this module, will it be catering to male and female characters both?
Yeah, definitely. I see no reason why I shouldn't do that. For instance, obviously a lot of conversations will have the characters referring to the player itself, so I only find it normal that that will work with both sexes. Also, I try to have a decent balance between all male and female NPCs, or the companions themselves.
Oh, fantastic. I personally know that I don't like going into a player-made module and being called Sir. It's very weird. What level character will you recommend for starting out this campaign?
Well, I recommend just starting a new character and use it throughout the whole campaign. You'll have the most fun experience then.
Okay. You're going to have an export system to go to the next chapter?
I'll look into that in the future. I haven't implemented that now already, but
okay.
I'll look into it.
So make sure you do a character save.
Yeah.
Will you be selecting others to do any beta testing before you release your module? And if so, how can interested parties contact you? But we've already done a contact, so. Also, can you be PM'd at the thievesguild.net?
Yeah, or at my forums. My website will probably be linked on the podcast site. So.
Right, yes, it will.
Well, on the question, I'll obviously do some testing. And not only myself. I also have a few people from the Thief Guild that are interested in testing, so I'll certainly contact them. Mm-hmm. And if others are interested in testing, I actually need testing, not just getting a chance to play it and then blame the end product for being full with bugs or something. The testers can always contact me on the forums or just sending me a mail.
Okay, that's great. What about the Neverwinter Night community appeals to you?
They're crazy. I mean, the Neverwinter Nights 1 community has been active for how long?
5 years.
5 years or something, and it's still active. It's an amazing achievement, and that's not all. I normally always find communities to be filled with people who act like they're my age. This community, on the other hand, has people who are more mature and basically way more pleasant to be in. Even with the recent name-calling attacks on the devs in the main forums and stuff, something I find quite ridiculous, by the way.
Oh, that really annoyed me when I read that, actually.
Yeah. Still, this community has a big core group that's very mature, and I admire that.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree. Okay, Kevin, do you have any questions or comments that you'd like to add, or questions for me?
Well, I'd like to know what people want to play, what ideas they have, and if there's anything specific they are looking for in their modules. So, if you have any ideas, feel free to post in my forums, or mail me about that, or PM me about that, whatever. Even if you still think your idea just wouldn't fit in my story, just spill it out. And of course, I'd like to thank you for this interview. It was great fun.
Oh, well, thank you for coming.
We've got interviews we're working on with the community expansion pack team and
it's on the right-hand side,
the creators of an End of the N2 database site,
specific,
which is a character building site. It's all about character builds. And we're working on questions for a round robin discussion, probably an audio format where everyone can jump in and talk. And for character builds, if you have a question, something you would like to know about any one of those, submit it to our forum on that thread. And when we go to get ready to do our questions or gather our questions up for the interview, we'll pull yours in too. Right. It says interview questions and then it says CEP, interview questions, character builds. So it's just right after that. And again, I'll put these links in the show notes. So if you have that up, you'll be able to get to it right.
Thanks for listening, and if you have any questions, comments, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. Or you can post them to our forums on our website located at neverwinternightspodcast.com.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout-out to the Frapper map by clicking on the Frapper logo. We'd like to see that fill up, see where everybody is. And if you're a member of a mod team and would like to have your module featured on the Mod Spotlight, check out the Submit a Mod Spotlight page on our website. One other thing I'd like to remind you of, if you have a question and you'd like to submit it in an audio format, audio is up, and you can send that to us via audio. And Trey should be back next week, so it may just be back to the original two, me and Trey. So that's it for this week. Until next week, get in game.